The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, folks, I know you've been waiting for this. And last night I was watching the results come in. I was taking a few notes, making a few observations about what I wanted to say, because now the midterm election cycle has concluded, except for whatever is happening in Arizona, which is not looking good. But regardless, I think I am safe in providing you my analysis of the Republican Party and where we are right now. And we're going to be getting your calls, and I want to take a lot of calls during today's program because I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you about where you think things went wrong and how you think that we can fix this. And I do believe it is fixable. I truly believe that. But it is going to take a lot of work. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves, and we're just going to have to keep fighting the good fight here. We also have to play smart. Now, there's a lot of blame to go around over what happened in Georgia last night. I will say this. Early on, it looked good for Herschel Walker. Herschel did well in areas that he needed to do well in. And you got to give credit where credit is due. Thank goodness for Brian Kemp, the governor, the very popular governor, of going in and really targeting some specific areas to get out the vote. And it's this idea of micro-targeting, which is one of the reasons, and they explained this to us on one of the interviews this past week or last week, where you go into an area that is traditionally red and you hammer that area to make sure you can squeeze out every vote possible. But it still wasn't enough. It was not enough. And the reality is that Herschel Walker was not the right candidate. And this goes back to day one. And I told you folks early on, I had grave concerns about Herschel Walker because he refused to debate his fellow Republicans in the primary process. And I do believe that had there been a different candidate, that we would have seen a different outcome yesterday. I truly believe that. Herschel Walker, and again, great football player, great person. I'm not throwing stones here. I'm going back and reminding you early on that there were concerns. But what is the mindset? There is a mindset out there among the establishment. You will vote for our candidates or else. And there is a mindset in the Trump world. You will vote for our candidates or else. And there are people that listen to this program that believe Trump can do no wrong, that the president is flawless, that he is without sin. There are people out there that believe that, and that is your right to believe. But can I tell you that what happened in Georgia, there's blame to go around everywhere, and we've got to fix this. But the biggest problem yesterday was not Donald Trump. The biggest problem was the establishment Republicans, and I want to explain why here. We got a big problem in our party, and the party is divided. We are in the middle of a civil war. I know nobody likes to talk about that, but we are. We should have cleaned house in the midterm elections. But when you've got candidates out there that are being defeated by other candidates who are, in fact, brain damaged. That's a big issue. A big issue. We're not vetting candidates. We're not vetting anybody. As long as the idea is, well, as long as they can win, we really don't care what their beliefs are. We don't care if they support the party platform. We just need a big win for the R's. I'll give you a great example here in Memphis, Tennessee. A very prominent Republican wrote an op-ed for the local newspaper saying that Republicans should be pro-abortion. It's ludicrous. That's not who we are. As a matter of fact, that's not even in the party platform. We're pro-life. It's in the party platform. So the issue to me is the establishment of Republicans. And here's why. You had the lieutenant governor of the state of Georgia, Jeff Duncan, out there campaigning against Herschel Walker. He was out there campaigning against the nominee for his own political party, and for no good reason other than the fact that he just didn't like the guy. Take a listen.
Earlier today, CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian discussed the runoff election with the lieutenant governor of Georgia. The Republican explained why he decided not to vote for fellow party member Herschel Walker.
I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative because I think it's the best way to govern. I've been a Republican a lot longer than a lot of folks. I think I've got kids probably that could articulate the conservative platform better than some of the candidates that Donald Trump and his group supported all across the country. You know, this wasn't the right brand for Republicanism. And I think Herschel Walker will probably go down as one of the worst Republican candidates in our party's history.
No, that distinction would go to Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, but not Herschel Walker, who actually did well. The problem is he was fighting his own party. And in a race that tight, and that was a very close race last night, in a race that tight, when you've got members of your own political party out there fighting against you and doing it openly, that's a big problem. And you are going to have a big problem. That's not Donald Trump. That's on the establishment wing of the Republican Party. They say they're conservatives. They're not conservatives. They're all about power, those people. You've got Van Jones out there on CNN last night talking about how Herschel Walker was an insult to the black community. Cut number eight.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. I mean, that could happen. What I do know is this. Tonight is about Georgia, and tonight is about Trump picking somebody who, frankly, used to be a hero. His name, Herschel Walker, used to mean inspiration. Now it means insult. He's an insult to the black community. And what you may see tonight is people coming out not just to vote in favor of a senator that they love, but just to vote against Donald Trump picking somebody like this and throwing this person at the voters in Georgia. Like, well, you'll just pick anybody who's black. His judgment, Trump's judgment tonight is going to be, I think, called into question by a lot of people. And I think that when you have a situation where it's obvious that Trump, he was a little bit too clever by half. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to put a black guy against a black guy, but the guy that he picked was the wrong black guy.
That's actually, part of that is actually true. Herschel Walker was picked because of the color of his skin. What have I said about identity politics on this radio program? What have I said? It doesn't work if you're a Republican. It doesn't work. You want an example? And by the way, this is how we got into the mess we are in right now. It goes back to Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, when he put Kelly Loeffler in the U.S. Senate. He specifically wanted a woman. It didn't matter that she wasn't a conservative. He wanted a woman. She turned out to be a terrible candidate, which, again, is how we got here in the first place. And now the state of Georgia, for the next 6 years, you're going to have a pro-abortion communist who tried to run over his wife as your sitting United States Senator. 6 years. But this goes back to the establishment Republicans fighting tooth and nail. The Republican leadership got together, and they and these are the people that I'm talking to in Washington. And the general thought here is that the Republican leadership got together and they said, you know what? We got to stop Trump. He cannot be the nominee of the party in 2024. How do we stop Trump? The best way to stop Trump is to destroy his candidate in Georgia. And that's what they did. That's what they did. They did this through the entire election cycle. And you saw Mitch McConnell yanking money from New Hampshire, from Alaska, from Arizona. It's appalling. And then these U.S. senators turn around, these Republicans, and they put Mitch McConnell back in charge. And you think we're going to get a different result, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, can we just get honest here? Let's get real for a moment when it comes to the Republican Party. Let's just say that the Senate and the House are now controlled by Republicans, that they actually won majorities. Do you really think that they were going to cut government spending if they were in charge? Do you really think that? Do you really think they would do anything to help secure the border? Do you really think they would do anything to keep jobs from going overseas, American jobs? Do you really think the Republicans would do anything at all? Do you think they would live up to their campaign promises? And I think we all know the answer to that question. And it is a process, and it is going to be a very long and arduous process, and we can't get bogged down, and we can't get discouraged. It's going to take a while to fix this problem. This is not going to happen overnight. But one of the first things we can do is get rid of all of the Republican leadership, because what they've been doing has not been working. Again, going back to what just happened in Georgia, where Herschel Walker was outspent, there it was an unbelievable amount of money. Where was all the money? Trump's raising all this money. Why didn't that money go into the Georgia race? And by the way, how many of us, we can't even go check our emails anymore because of all of the fundraising emails we're getting from not just Trump, but all the other Republicans. So it's not like they're broke. Where's the money? And what do they do with it? Because they didn't use it in Georgia. Herschel Walker was outspent. He was outmanned. What did I tell you early on? What should have happened? There should have been a unity event. There should have been Herschel, Donald Trump, Brian Kemp, Ron DeSantis, all on a bus. Throw in Nikki Haley, too. Put them all on a bus. Hit every single county in Georgia. And you fight like it's the end of the world. But they didn't do it because everybody's too busy hating everybody. And I get it, but we got to figure this out here, folks. And the question is, what is the answer? What do we need to do to turn this around? What do the Republicans need to do to fix this? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We got a lot to go through today. We're going to be checking in with our good friend Scott Perry. He is chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Those guys have a great big bullseye on them. We're going to be also checking in with our friends from all across America. This is the Todd Stern Show. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they don't have a clue how to fix it, folks. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you're vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can fit in a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Great to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking your calls on what happened. Where do you think things went wrong and how do we fix it? 844-747-8868. I will say this, the starting point is getting rid of every Republican in leadership and starting over again. And just as a general thought here, anybody with the name of Romney has no business being anywhere in leadership in our party right now. But again, as somebody who has given thousands of dollars to Republican candidates, I want to know, what's the money being used for? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phone. Star in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. All right, Star, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind, hi Todd, is that I would like to challenge every American out there, everyone that believes in a constitutional republic, that now visiting their families and friends over the holidays, that you explain to them what the difference between the two parties are, what the difference is between the Republican Party and their ideals in a constitutional republic and representation for all people, and versus what the Democrat Party has become, where we have elected now a communist to represent the state of Georgia. I talked to a lot of people before Thanksgiving, and they said that they didn't think that their vote really mattered because both parties were corrupt. I have to agree with them on that. However, when I went to cast my ballot yesterday, was Herschel the best candidate? No, but I knew in my heart of hearts that Herschel would represent the state and would represent the ideals that I believed in versus someone that was quite vocally a communist. And now we have to live with that here in Georgia for the next 6 years.
And a guy who beat his wife. I mean, he ran over his wife or tried to run over his wife. I mean, it's not like, you know, this is some sort of a pure spirit here. But the problem is, Star, and again, you hate to go back to all of this, but if Herschel Walker, you know, when Trump decided Herschel's going to be our guy, what Herschel was obligated to do was to stand, have a big press conference, and say, you know what, folks, you're about to jump into my background, and here's what I did, here is who I am now, and this is why I'm a different man. But, Star, they didn't do that, and so then the voters were treated to every week a drip, drip, drip. And that's not going to impact the Republic, you know, the diehard conservative Republicans, who that's their guy. But it is going to impact the independent voters. It's going to impact the black female voters, who, by the way, is a massive voting bloc in your state. But they didn't do that. And there were just a lot of errors, a lot of problems. The campaign was just not poorly, was not run well. But ultimately,
some of that does go back to what the media wants you to hear about the candidates. Everything I had heard from Herschel before this, he'd been very honest about his background. But, you know, the media takes it and runs with it and creates something completely different. And that's why it's up to us as individuals to go back to canvassing door to door and explaining to our neighbors why we are a Republican, what that means and what that stands for against communism.
I'm with you, Star. Look, any vote against communism is a good vote in my estimation. And but unfortunately, it just wasn't enough. But to say that, you know, Trump has destroyed the party, that was a pretty darn close race. And my question is, if in fact the establishment Republicans in Georgia had truly gotten behind Herschel Walker, would that have made the difference? That's the big question right now. But
what scares me more is, what is the Democrat machine doing that the Republican get out the vote effort failed at?
And that's a great question
for me.
Star, thank you for the call. And that is a great question. So Ronna McDaniel was asked about this. What are we doing? How do we get better? What's the winning formula? Here's what Ronna said. Cut four.
What are you going to do differently for 2024 cycle than you did in 2022 in terms of getting the cars you want on the track that you built?
Well, I do think the changes we've made since I've been chair, especially these first 2 years, because we had the White House the first four, but this has really been my time to do these changes. Voter registration, these community centers, the outreach, continuing to do election integrity.
Because the Democrats are masters at collecting ballots.
Yeah, and we did that too in California. I mean, listen, we just flipped Duarte because we did ballot harvesting. Montana, we did ballot harvesting. There's a lot of miscommunication, and a big part of it is looking at and assessing. Dobbs was a big factor. The youth vote, we're not on TikTok.
We're not on TikTok. So that's the problem. Who would have thought? We've spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and the reason why Republicans, the reason why you people out there are not winning races is because you're not on TikTok. Just go ahead and turn over all your data to the communist. But by golly, that's going to get the Republicans victories. That's what Ron McDaniel says, the leader of the RNC. Are you buying any of this, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. What about MySpace?
I'm Grace Baker with the Todd Starnes Show, and folks, I've got a story to tell you. You know how much I love Merlo and how I want her to be around for a very long time. So Todd Starnes recommended I start giving her pomade supplements. I already have started seeing her happier even during cloudy days, and it's made a world of difference in her overall well-being.
So why does Grace need to supplement Merlo's diet? Well, because they do the same thing to pet food that they do to most human food these days. They strip it of all the vitamins, minerals, nutrients that your dog needs to be healthy. Imagine your pet suffering because of a poor diet, being unable to tell you. Well, I know you want to avoid that, so I want to tell you about Longevity Formula from Pawmade. It's an all-natural health supplement for dogs made with 23 dog-friendly superfoods to keep your pup healthy and strong. Veterinarian-approved Longevity Formula boosts nutrient intake, protects against toxins, and guards against premature aging. And that's important because aside from poor diet, toxins like pesticides, mold, and air pollution, they can all harm your pup's health. But Longevity Formula contains special toxin-fighting nutrients to protect your dog so they can live a long, happy life by your side. These include premium quality superfoods like organic mushrooms, kelp, goji berry, and two kinds of probiotics, and many more. Right now, there's a limited time offer exclusively for our listeners. For every purchase of Longevity Formula, you'll receive a free bottle of Pawmade's Hip and Joint Formula. To claim your offer, go to pawmade.com/Todd or call toll-free 833-PAWMADE. That's PAWMADE.com/Todd or call 833-PAWMADE. All right, good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. I am Todd Starnes, and we are going to fix what's broken with the Republican Party. You know, one of the best ways that we could do this and really do it in a quick way is simply cut off the money. Now, I know that many of you out there are not the big dollar donors to the Republican Party, but they do count on your donations. And the best way to send a message is to say, you know what, we're just not going to give you any more money until you fix what's broken. And one way to do that is to make sure nobody with the last name of Romney ever is put into a leadership position again. Lee Zeldin, the outgoing congressman from New York, says that he will not run for the RNC chair, but he says that Romney McDaniel has to go. Zeldin called, and by the way, and here's the reason why he's not running. He says the fix for McDaniel is already in. Harmie Dillon is running, and we're going to play some audio from her in just a moment. But Zeldin says that there is so much money and so much power at stake here, there's no way to oust McDaniel from her position. And what is McDaniel's solution? She says that if Republicans really want to start winning, we're going to have to get out the youth vote, and we're going to have to get on TikTok. Well, first of all, when was the last time the youth vote actually swung an election? Aside from the midterms, where you had a substantial number of young people coming out to vote. But to that point, okay, let's take a look at those Republican or conservative youth organizations. Turning Point USA, they throw a great conference, a great convention, but what else? Is that all they're good for? Because they did nothing to get out the vote. What about Young America's Foundation? What are they doing to get out the vote? But more importantly, what are they doing to educate next generation voters about what it means to be a Republican? What are they doing there? For that matter, what's the Republican Party doing? They've got a whole youth outreach division. Ronna McDaniel's been in charge. She's 0-5. She has not won an election cycle yet. So what are they waiting on? And by the way, really, you think getting on TikTok is going to seriously win you elections? You may as well get on Tumblr or Pinterest. Grace, check and see if the Republicans have a Pinterest account.
Working on it, Todd. We need it.
We need a good recipe for cocktails or something. You know.
Yeah, honestly, after those midterms, we really do.
it's insane because when you look at the lay of the land here, the Republicans throw great parties, cocktail parties. But I'm telling you, they're not getting a single penny from me.
No, they like the country clubs. They like the country clubs.
I'm tired of my money going to support establishment, pro-abortion, pro-this, pro-that. I wanted a candidate who's going to defend the party platform.
Money talks.
That's it.
Make it talk. Make it yell.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Grace Baker. 844-747-8868. Were you surprised at the results last night? 844-747-8868. Lee Zeldin, writing on Twitter, I won't be running for RNC chair at this time with McDaniel's reelection pre-baked by design. But that does not mean she should even be running again. Zeldin goes on to say here, and this is from Politico, change is desperately needed. And there are many leaders, myself included, ready and willing to step up to ensure our party retools and transforms as critical elections fast approach, namely the 2024 presidential and congressional races. Folks, if we keep doing what we're doing now, we're going to be blown out in 2024. Zeldin wrote to RNC leaders last month, laying out the case for his potential bid. He came within 6 points of beating Kathy Hochul in Blue State, New York. Quote, no matter what, I am committed to doing absolutely everything in my power to help save our country with every ounce of my energy. Zeldin urged the party to develop its fundraising apparatus, bolster its ballot collection and election integrity efforts, and build its grassroots after Republicans fared worse than expected across the nation on Election Day. And again, Trump has been out there from day one saying no to early voting. Zeldin says the better path forward would be for Chairwoman McDaniel to listen and respect the wishes of the actual grassroots voters of our party and allow the RNC to forge ahead with new leadership. Her greatest service to the Republican Party at this time would be to make room for a new chair. Harmeet Dhillon, cut number 11.
Is it true that you plan to run for RNC chair?
Well, Tucker, I'm going to announce tonight that actually I am going to run for RNC chair. And the reason is that, you know, to play off of a famous catchphrase, Republicans are tired of losing. And I think that we really need to radically reshape our leadership in order to win. And we can't keep running elections like we did in the 90s and the 2000s. And we really have to modernize to compete with the Democrats dollar for dollar in the ways they fundraise, the way they deliver their ballots to the ballot boxes. Our messaging needs to be fresh and positive and not just reactive to news cycles and what the Democrats are doing. And I think that the party needs to realize that the party has become a populist party. The base of the party demands populist messages that speak to them and not Chamber of Commerce messages, not neocon messages, not warmonger messages. And I'm afraid that the base of our party is not getting what it needs from our leadership. And so after three successive rounds of really disappointing results, Tucker, I'm a member of the RNC and no other member is stepping up to challenge leadership. And our current leadership has never been challenged for the chair job. And I think that challenge and competition is very good. And so I'm hoping to gain the support of grassroots Americans who do not like the direction of the party and its leadership. They need to contact the 168 members of the RNC in their states and territories.
And she's right. And I've already contacted mine here in Tennessee. And, you know, Harmeet Dhillon, she's got my support. She's been out there fighting. She is an Indian American. She is a great conservative leader. And she's been fighting for Republicans. She's also a national committee woman from the great state of California. She's a great attorney. She's been out there fighting for civil liberties all over America. And I think that she could maybe help shake things up a little bit. But what say you, ladies and gentlemen, how do we stop the leftist takeover of America? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Collierville, Tennessee. Justin listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Justin, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Just kind of alluding to your comment earlier about trying to get the base of the Republicans out. Just kind of go back to the earlier comment is, I think your average day middle class Republican feels like this whole party is stuck with inside the country club. Like, why are we not doing what the Democrats do? Is they're out in the streets, like they shake every single bush trying to get a voter. And maybe if we did that, if we took a grassroots approach, maybe even collaborating with other like civic groups and stuff, that we would see more of a turnout from our base. Because right now, your average day middle class voter, we feel left out.
You know, that's an interesting thing you bring up, Justin. And you have to go all the way back, really, to the 1970s when the Republican Party was in the mainstream, a Chamber of Commerce political party. And there was no room for the blue-collar workers. There really was no room for the evangelical Christians. And that's what gave birth, you know, with Jerry Falwell, the senior, the moral majority. And that coalition of blue-collar workers and the evangelical Christians really shook up the party, and they're the ones that elected Ronald Reagan. And you might remember the term Reagan Democrats. These were grandmas and grandpas, my parents, who were former Democrats, turned completely off by Jimmy Carter and his failed policies, and they became Republicans. Now, that was an ugly marriage with the Republicans, and the party's never gotten over that. And there's always been tension, and it goes all the way back to Ronald Reagan. Had the Chamber of Commerce folks had their preference, it would not have been Ronald Reagan. It would have been Gerald Ford, or it would have been George H.W. Bush as their nominee. So this fight's been going on for a long time. What do you, from a very practical standpoint, Justin, in Collierville, Tennessee, what would you like to see your local Republicans do?
I would like to see my actual local Republicans just be more part of the community that we're already in, and just step up. If they would just stick to the conservative values of what makes our party, because I think this is basically a no-brainer. These are all the kitchen table issues that we all discuss, and I think if they would stick to those points, I think you would change the party. You would see a lot more participation, and you'd see a lot more Republicans that would sit at home that would actually get out to vote.
There you go. Justin, I think that's a brilliant thought, and I appreciate you calling in. And folks, I hope your local Republican parties are listening, because this is not just a national issue. It goes all the way down to the local issue. It goes down to the local Republican parties. We're going to have to reshape and rebuild everything. Now, I want to go back and remind folks about a man who would have been a great candidate in Georgia. His name is Kelvin King. He is a black conservative. He has been born and raised in Georgia, Macon, Georgia, served honorably in the United States Air Force. He is a businessman, owns a very large construction company there in Georgia. He is married, has a beautiful family. They are incredibly involved in a very large church there in the Atlanta area. And Kelvin was a regular on this program as he was throwing his name into the hat to represent Georgia in the U.S. Senate. But again, Kelvin King was shoved aside. This man would have been the perfect candidate, the perfect nominee. But he wasn't Donald Trump's pick. And I will say this about President Trump, who we love, but you can have great friends, but sometimes those great friends do not make great candidates. And if you look at what happened with Dr. Oz, and now look what's happened with Herschel Walker. So again, it was a missed opportunity here. We've got to play smart politics, but it's not just about candidate quality. And you're going to be hearing that word a lot, candidate quality. It's not just about that. It's also about the fundraising apparatus. Where is the money going? And a lot of it, as Newt Gingrich said, is going to the consultant class. So an overwhelming amount of the money that you're giving to these candidates, the candidates are not getting. These are going to these campaign funds and these K Street operators in Washington, D.C., these people who are running the political campaigns. And they're getting filthy rich off of our money. And they're giving the candidates horrible advice. So, again, a lot to unravel. And we're going to do this in the lead up to 2024 because we got to fix this. And you say, well, Todd, why are we putting the effort? Because we have to, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. There are no other United States of America out there. This is it. This is the hill to die on. We've got to fight here for our country. And if we don't fight, and if we don't fix what is broken in Washington, D.C., and what is broken in our own communities, we are going to always lose the fight, and we can't do that. 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to your calls right after this. MyPillow is excited to announce the original My Slippers are back in stock just in time for the holidays. Last Christmas, you made our slippers the number one selling MyPillow product, and now they've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, and even wider sizes in all new colors. What makes My Slippers different is the exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help relieve stress on your feet from all the running around this holiday. You can wear them anytime, anywhere, and save $90 off with promo code STARNS. That's only $49.98 a pair. You'll absolutely love My Slippers, and now they're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2023, making them the best Christmas gift ever. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506, promo code STARNS to save $90 on the original My Slippers. That's only $49.98 a pair. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Hang in there, America. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through it. We got to have these ugly, you know, nasty talks and conversations. We got to work our way through this. And if we're able to do it, the Republicans, it's sort of like a come to Jesus intervention. And that's what we're trying to do here. Let's go to David in North Carolina. WSJS is our great affiliate there. All right, David, what's on your mind?
Number one, complete agreement with you about Herschel Walker. Who in the world selected this man?
Donald Trump did.
Yeah, and well, we don't need to talk about him, I guess, at this point. But yeah, obviously, a man whose credentials for anti-abortion are at least in question, to say the least. Number two, a man who was guilty of violence against his spouse and others. So, yeah, I mean, you saw it, you know, ahead of time. I saw it. And it's amazing he got 48% of the vote, to be honest with you.
Stunning.
Anyway, it's stunning. And I'm not so sure that's a compliment to some of the Republican voters. And as you mentioned, that's because sometimes they act like a nation of sheep. Vote for whomever we tell you to vote for. So you're right. 100% right. If you'd been in charge of that, maybe we would have won. Okay, number two, Generation Z, just wanted to bring that up. Generation Z is not exactly in our corner. I don't have any empirical proof of that, but I think you would agree that from what we know, anecdotal circumstances like my son, they don't react well to some of the ideas put forth by the Republican Party.
David, how do we reach Gen Z? How do we get them on our side?
I think that change the message a little bit. For example, a number of them want to start small businesses, and the Democratic Party has fallen down on that. If you remember, they were attempting to support African-American farmers, and Biden said he couldn't get it done. So I think small businesses, many of them want to go into small businesses. So why not indicate that the Republican Party certainly does support small businesses. Number two, what about Social Security? I know this is the third rail of politics, but basically, people like my son, they're supporting me with no hope of ever seeing Social Security. All the money they put in, it's simply going to the older generation. Can't we do something to help them believe that they're not paying money, throwing money away, at least away from them, away from their future? They want good wages. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, let me jump in here, David, because we're going to be running up against the top of the hour here, and I want to try to address some of the things you said. Look, I think you're right. We are losing Gen Z, and that's because we have abdicated our control and authority of the public school system. These kids have been radicalized, and we're looking at least the past 20 years of radicalization. It is a shocking thing, and we've got to fix that, and that is going to be a long-term process. You know, the other part of this is we've got to have smart candidates out there. And I will say, I think you're right about this, that if they had come to me and said, Todd, who do you like out of all of this bunch of candidates, I would have told them that my guy was, and I think my guy would have won, and that is Kelvin King. The guy is just rock solid. But you know what happened, David? My guy didn't win. So did I just pack up and go home and sit in the corner and sulk? No, I got behind Herschel Walker. And that is the problem here, folks. The establishment people will not do that. If their guy loses, that's it. Game over. They want everybody destroyed. I mean, come on. All right, hang tight. Rita, Jerry, we're going to get to your calls. We got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Big question I've been getting pinged by this all day is this RNC leadership question, because a lot of Republicans are worried because they think, you know, they're glad they won the House and a couple more seats look like they're picked up. We're going to talk to John Duarte in a minute.
Who won in California again?
Who do you think now should take over as RNC chair? We like Ronna McDaniel a lot personally. I think she's a great person. I like her. Harmeet Dhillon is a young female, California, obviously Indian American.
Look, I like Harmeet. She's my national commitment. I think she does a tremendous job. But I think Ronna did a tremendous job, too. Look. Would you look across the country?
You don't think
every
we need change?
Every Republican entity lost except the House. I've been leader for 4 years. We've won every single time.
What about early voting for those Senate races? She could have helped on that, right?
I've watched her down doing it. The one thing I see happening: the Senate lost, the governor's lost, the president lost, but the House has won in both cycles. Even we picked up in California, we picked up in Oregon, we picked up in New York. We won five seats that Biden won by more than 10 points. We beat the DCCC chair. That hasn't happened in 42 years. I think the quality of the candidate matters. We could have done better in Pennsylvania with a better governor candidate there. It cost us then. But look, I saw the resources there. I saw the engagement in there. And the RNC is a small group of individuals, of committee men and committee women. I think,
Right. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. That conversation last night, Laura Ingraham and Kevin McCarthy, who wants to be the next Speaker of the House. And it sure sounds like to me that he is endorsing Ronna Romney McDaniel. I know she stopped dropping the name, but we know who you are, Ronna. We know where you go for Thanksgiving dinner. Ronna Romney McDaniel. Looks like he's giving her a big thumbs up. All right, we got a lot of folks on hold. Don't go anywhere. We want to get to your calls, but I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, he is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Scott Perry. Congressman, thanks for coming on the show today.
Absolutely, Todd, and great to be with you. I would say this. I just listened to the conversation that you played. Look, Chuck Schumer has been wildly successful in the Senate, and he's being rewarded for it. In the House, the Democrats, they exceeded their expectations. Let's look at the environment that we had to run in. But at every single level, there's really never been a more favorable environment in your lifetime to run as a Republican. Democrats overperformed their expectations. What did they do? They changed their entire leadership team because it still wasn't enough. Now, on our side, you know, we can't be bothered to listen what Albert Einstein said. He said, doing the same things and expecting different outcomes is the definition of insanity. So we have the same people under the same conditions doing the same things. And what do we think is going to change? I struggle with it. You know, what we have to do, quite honestly, Todd, I think, is divorce ourselves. You know, this is business. So, yeah, we like Ronna. She's a nice lady. I'm not out here to trash her or anything like that, but we have to have results. In corporations, there are probably a lot of nice people there, but stockholders and shareholders demand results. They don't care if you're going to go golfing with them. What they care about is if you're going to increase the value of their portfolio because they invested in you and your company because they believed you were going to increase the value of their portfolio. Unfortunately, we haven't increased the value of our portfolio as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I haven't either, Congressman. And I'm telling you, Laura Ingraham, I think she summed it up very well last night. She said she was pissed. And I got to tell you, I am too. And a lot of my listeners are just angry. They're tired of losing.
Yeah, we're all tired of losing. And I would say this as well, where we picked up. Look, we picked up in New York. Thank you, Lee Zeldin, for running one heck of a campaign in difficult conditions. But, you know, he probably would have won had all the New Yorkers that traditionally could have voted for him hadn't moved to Florida. You had Florida. That's Ron DeSantis. But other than that, it was down to each individual candidate. So if you have good candidates, you can win even in tough seats. But here's what we were missing, Todd, in my opinion. Any overall messaging tied to results from Mitch McConnell and leadership in the House. There was no messaging, and if there was, it came very late in the cycle. We were already voting in Pennsylvania when we actually got the message of what Republicans are for, and we squandered 2 years and multiple opportunities of leverage to show what we would do if we had authority. We squandered those opportunities. We didn't get any gains, yet we said to people, well, come out and vote for us. Here's what they did, Todd. They said, look, the Democrats and the left are destroying the country. I can't vote for them. These guys aren't much better, but I can't vote for those other guys. There was no enthusiasm because none was earned.
It just seems to me, Congressman, and I think the Georgia race really encapsulates the broader issue here of what's happening. We had a candidate problem there, and I was pretty open about that early on. The way they rolled Herschel out, it should have been done in a very different way to address all of the skeletons that were in the closet instead of the daily drip that we got in the media. But beyond that, the messaging, like you just said, was all over the place. I mean, they're talking about kale chips. That was Senator John Kennedy trying to make some point. They were talking about all sorts of stuff other than the issues that were impacting people at their homes. But again, in spite of all of that, he did really well. And you have to wonder, Congressman, if the establishment Republicans in Georgia had just gotten on board that campaign, would that have been enough to push Herschel Walker over the finish line?
Well, look, he was behind, but it ended up a couple points, right? A couple points at the end of the thing. You look at how the campaign was run, certainly a factor. The candidate is indeed a factor. I think Herschel got better over time. But the spending, the resources, 3-4 to 1, these are huge sums of money. You know, you're right. Look, you can't, as a candidate, think that the truth's not going to come out. The truth, the information, the skeletons, whatever you want to call them, it's going to come out. Just resign yourself to it. The best thing to do, get it out early, deal with it, and then move on. But if you think that you're just going to keep hiding it and run from it, you're a fool. And that's why candidate selection is important. We have to have people. Look, these are high-stakes races. You know, I'm one that believes that the nationalization of Senate races has destroyed, you know, our ability to pick the right senators from our states. That's another topic. But we have to select candidates that know how to do this. And, you know, look, we had a candidate in Pennsylvania, nice person, capable, you know, in many arenas, but you don't go on the television talking about crudités. People in Pennsylvania that don't live on the main line in Philadelphia don't understand what you're talking about. If you say vegetable tray, they get it. But you shouldn't have to be told that. If you have to be told that, there's a problem.
So Rana's got to go, and again, I'm sure a very nice person. She's been cordial to us, but she's got to go. We need new leadership. Where do you stand on Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House?
Right now, we are trying to find out if he will support the things that need to change. Again, we can't have, Todd, the same people under the same conditions doing the same things and expect a different outcome. Something has to change there, either the conditions, the people, or the circumstances. Something has to change. That's what I can say there. We've got some time left on the runway here before we got to take off on January 3rd. But if something doesn't change there, you're going to see things that haven't been seen in America for about 100 years.
Now, you've got folks out there, Mark Levin, the talk radio host, really just saying horrible things about Andy Biggs, basically accusing him of not even being a conservative. And others are saying the House Freedom Caucus is going to hand the speakership to Liz Cheney. How do you respond to these, this hate that's being directed at you guys?
Yeah, this is how I respond. There are forces within Washington, D.C. that are wedded and invested in the status quo. And what they are trying to do, and sometimes successfully, is put the fear that somehow Democrats going to be elected speaker. Todd, the only way that happens, there's only one way that can happen, is if Republicans vote for a Democrat. Now, they put that story out there over and over again. Some people pick it up. Some people talk about it. But no one puts names and faces with the claim. So I asked. There was one guy, his story was written about one representative that he would work with Democrats. I went and asked him, are you going to vote for a Democrat for Speaker? He said, absolutely not. I don't like what you're doing, but I'm never voting for a Democrat. It's just using fear to try and make sure that the establishment and the status quo remains. It is unacceptable. It is unsustainable.
And even if that were true, that would be the proof that would be the last line. I mean, that's it. You know, again, that you would have Republicans voting with Democrats. But again, Congressman, you guys are very effective, and that's why they're coming after the House Freedom Caucus.
We're in good faith trying to change the way things are done so we don't have the same outcome at the end of this year. And right now, no one that wants to be in leadership at the top has given us a vision of how they're going to do that. It's essentially, trust me, it's essentially vote for me now and trust that we will do these things in the future. Todd, we have played that game over and over again, and in my time, we've added, I don't know, $14 trillion or more in debt during the same period of time where I heard the same rhetoric, whether it was John Boehner or Paul Ryan. I'm sorry. The American people can no longer sustain this. There's got to be something that's changed here in the equation, or we're going to keep coming up with the same outcome. And if the Freedom Caucus is the only one willing to do the hard work to save the Republic, well, so be it. The Lord sent us here to do this job. They didn't say it was going to be easy or comfortable or whatever, but it has to be done.
And Congressman, real quick here, the list of things that you guys have given to Kevin McCarthy, are you able to share any of those things that you want to see happen?
Well, I'm just going to share a couple that I think you'll understand, your audience will understand, because some of this stuff is inside baseball, but accountability. So under Speaker Boehner, we had a thing called the motion to vacate the chair. That's essentially you get enough votes, you don't like the speaker, you can throw the speaker out. When Nancy Pelosi came in, she got rid of that. We have effectively enshrined that in the rules now in the Republican House. It is unacceptable. There must be accountability for the person that sits in the seat three steps from the presidency. That's number one. Number two, earmarks. We had gotten rid of earmarks, and now they're back. We cannot sustain this unbridled spending and the coercion that goes with earmarks. And then finally, the ability to have single subject bills. We see it right now with the National Defense Authorization being Christmas treed with a whole bunch of items that have nothing to do with national defense because it's a must-pass bill. And, of course, if you vote against it, you're voting against the troop. But if you vote for it, you're bankrupting the country and destroying our culture. That stuff must end. These seem like reasonable, easy asks for us. And all members should be supportive of that. And if a leader can't support those things, if the leader's too insecure to support those things, then maybe they shouldn't be the leader.
And in closing here, Congressman, if the vote were held today for McCarthy, how many no votes from the Freedom Caucus do you believe that he would get?
Well, Todd, you understand tactics and strategy, and everybody and everything in Washington, D.C. is about counting the numbers or counting the money. So I can assure you that right now, Kevin McCarthy does not have the votes needed to become speaker at this moment.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Congressman, we really do appreciate a refreshing perspective on things here, because you're right. We got to have some changes. You've got our support, Congressman, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you and your audience.
All right, Congressman Scott Perry, wow. You can tell that he's fired up, and I'm glad to hear somebody is. But look, don't believe all of this hullabaloo, and there's a lot of it. People out there saying, well, if McCarthy doesn't get the votes, you're going to have the Republicans. They're going to side with the Democrats, and Liz Cheney's. No, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. We've got to have a leadership change, and God bless the House Freedom Caucus for having the courage to stand up not only to the leftist and the mainstream media, but also the conservative media. All right, we're going to get to your calls. Mark in Atlanta, John in North Carolina, Jerry in Iowa, hang tight, 844-747-8868. That's our number. We'll be right back. All right, folks, as promised, let's get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Mark in Atlanta. Mark, I understand you have a bee in your bonnet about a previous caller.
Yeah, I do, Todd. I appreciate you. I appreciate your show, obviously, and I appreciate Congressman Perry's comments. But, you know, I go to a church you're very familiar with here in Atlanta, and I heard Herschel Walker speak twice at length about every issue we could possibly throw at him. And he was not only articulate, I believe he's a blood-bought Christian, and I believe he has no interest at all in the abortion industry. And we talk about having the perfect candidate and the right candidate, and I think the enemy is perfectly capable of taking the perfect candidate and making them a demon. We were looking at Herschel Walker versus a guy who calls himself a preacher, loves Louis Farrakhan, is an anti-Semite, and believes in abortion on demand.
Didn't pay child support.
How could that not be a better candidate?
Yeah, didn't pay child support, ran over his wife's foot.
But when you have ads on TV that are 5-1 constantly beating up on Herschel, most of them you can't even address because there's so many of them. You know, I mean, look at Dr. Oz. Was Dr. Oz not a better candidate than Fetterwoman? I mean, come on, the guy's brain dead, basically, and I'm being generous. I've heard people in Atlanta and surrounding areas talk about, well, Herschel was inarticulate. Inarticulate. If you saw his debate, you'd know he's articulate. And anyone that's ever heard of the great John Lewa knows that inarticulate doesn't mean a whole lot around here. I mean, if you heard John Lewis talk, you know that Herschel Walker is far more articulate than that.
Well, and you've got Hank Johnson, the congressman in Atlanta.
That's exactly
who
right.
Believes that islands can turn upside down. Yeah, real
well,
winner
look,
there.
My whole problem with the comment is we're not ever going to have the perfect candidate. They're going to beat them around the head, neck, and shoulders. Our problem is not Donald Trump either. Donald Trump is the only person since Reagan in my lifetime that showed the Republicans how to fight. They need to take lessons from him and learn from him and not argue with him and talk about throwing him under the bus every 2 minutes.
Well, they're not going to do that, Mark. No. Mark, let me stop you there. They're not going to do that. They are going to destroy Donald Trump. That's the whole point of Republican leadership.
And Todd, it's usually our own folks doing it. I mean, you know, we need to get rid of the Romney class of Republicans, or the same thing is going to happen continuously over and over again. Because our fight is not it is with the enemy. The Democrats, the enemy, they fight with clubs. We fight with wooden spoons. But we've got as many subversives within our own party as we do on the outside. At least we know who the enemy is when I look at Democrats. I mean, where was McConnell in this race? Did you see him?
Well,
everybody said Trump was toxic, so he wasn't supposed to come to the party. So he didn't. He stayed out of the way. And every mainstream Republican you can name came into this state to vouch for Herschel Walker. But I don't hear them taking credit for the defeat yesterday.
Is it possible, Mark, and I've got about, we've got about 10 seconds here, but do you think really that it was the establishment Republicans in your state, the lieutenant governor, that did him in?
I think his mouth got the best of him, and they made sure they spouted what he said at every turn. Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something, Mark. I was watching CNN last night. The lieutenant governor spouted over and over and over and over and over again. That guy's a rhino. Mark, good observations. Folks, what say you? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Done your grocery shop or grocery shopping? Your Christmas shopping, Grace Baker?
Todd, I've bought like one thing, and it was for my dog.
May I just ask an awkward question here? What the heck bumper music was that?
That was Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. Lord. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Oh, Lord.
My
don't
mom
tell me.
Hates
no.
It.
Yes, I'm with the mom. I'm with mother producer.
I love that song.
Wow. All right. Yeah. No, I've just noticed here around Memphis, not many people are out shopping as normal.
I do most of my shopping online.
You do it online?
Yes.
Apparently, Amazon was down earlier today. People were freaking out.
Oh, no. I bet. That's a global crisis right
Indeed.
There.
Indeed. All right. Thank you, Grace. All right. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. John in North Carolina, WHKP. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I agree with everything you've said today about saving the Republican Party. We're in an impasse, and this is the hill to die on. If we don't save it, we'll never be the majority in power again. And we've got less than 2 years to get it right. And I don't know if that's going to be enough time, you know, to fix it. You talk about cutting the money off, and that's a great idea. But there'll still be so much money coming in from the globalists, from Wall Street, from corporate America. The GOPE, you know, is going to continue to, you know, to the beat of the ones in power.
John, it's a little bit of tough love is what we're trying to implement here. And if the best way to do that is to immediately cut off all funding and to give them a call and let them know, hey, look, I support you guys, but I'm not giving you any more money until we get new leadership. And it's incredibly important to call your committee members, and you can find that information on your state GOP website. But you got to call your committee members and tell them we got to have a change at the RNC. That's just got to happen. John, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa. Hey, Jerry, what's up?
Hey, brother. Mr. Perry is quite right. Something does have to change, and I'm going to call it out as that poisonous strategy called lesser of two evils. Take Herschel Walker for a very good example. Was Herschel Walker a good candidate? Well, people like me, and there's more of us, that no longer matters to me at all. All I care about is his character, his conscience, and Herschel Walker is a good man. The harsh reality is the people did not want a good person like Herschel Walker. They wanted the values of Warnock. So I no longer vote for a winner. I did that for a lot of years. So I vote my conscience because only God is watching me. And if I could, I don't care about electable. If the rhinos don't want my vote, then we can just all go down the ship together because I don't care if a person is a good candidate. I like a normal guy who loves the Lord or woman, and I'm just not paying attention to optics anymore. So, Herschel Walker, buddy, you're a good man, and don't change. So,
Jerry, there was a time in American political history when there really wasn't that much wiggle room between Republicans and Democrats, aside from one specific issue. And if you go back to the 1960s, I mean, in essence, the argument could be made that JFK would have been a moderate Republican if he were alive today. But the big difference between Republicans and Democrats happened to be the civil rights issue. That was the big dividing factor between the two political parties. But for really generations, I mean, going back as far as you can remember, pretty much they agreed on the big issues of the day. It's not like that anymore. There are no folks in the middle. You're either on the right or you're on the left, and that's it. But now you've got these establishment Republicans that are wielding the power they have, and they're telling folks at least in the Republican Party, it's their way or the highway. And if our candidates don't win, we're not going to lift a finger to help you. But if our candidates are the nominees, then you better shut up and you better get behind them. I mean, that's their philosophy in life.
That game's over. So, by the way, I'm named after a Northern Civil War veteran. And I just want to say that one thing you wonderful Southerners had right was the states' rights thing. And indeed, all of us went back to go back to the original 13 states. And so I think it's pretty much back to principle now. And no, I don't compromise with rhinos anymore. I did that for a couple decades. So we can just all lose. The rhinos don't want to be elected. They're just going to have to try harder to get my vote, because I'll write in a good person and I can lose. I know how to lose. I've been doing that for a long time. It's an honor to vote for good people, even if they don't win.
It's a fair point. Jerry, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. So, folks, and we got a lot of work to do and not a lot of time to do it, but all that to say is that, yeah, we can fix this, but it's going to require the fortitude of someone like a Congressman Scott Perry, who says, you know what, we've got the votes to stop McCarthy from being elected speaker. We've got a list of demands, and I like those demands because, again, if the Republicans are going to be anything, they've got to be fiscally responsible. And if they're not going to be fiscally responsible, then what's the point of having a political party? Seriously, what is the point? If they're not going to at least agree that we've got to live within our means as a nation. So I salute the House Freedom Caucus. You're going to hear them called every name under the book over the next couple of weeks. But they're going to stand their ground. They're demanding concessions from Kevin McCarthy. And if McCarthy doesn't give them what they want, he's not going to get their votes. And that's how we've got to do it. We've got to play hardball with our own party now. We just got to do it. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Have you heard about Kirk Cameron? What a crazy story this is. Yes, Mike Seaver from back in the day. Kirk Cameron, now a born-again believer in our Lord. He is a great Hollywood producer, been churning out a lot of great faith-based films. He and his wife have a number of kids, most of whom, I think they have two biological children and the rest they adopted. But he is very outspoken on his faith. And Kirk has been a regular on this radio program for a number of years. And he and I have shared the stage together a number of times over the past years. Anyway, he's got a brand new children's book out, and Lord knows we need more children's books. And this storybook teaches kids about values, and specifically about biblical values, and it teaches them about God, and it's a beautiful children's storybook. Now, Kirk and his publisher, called Brave Books, they were reaching out to libraries across the country, and they wanted the libraries to host Kirk Cameron. So the way it would work, Kirk Cameron would come to the local library, he would have a copy of his book there, and he would read the storybook to the children. And they reached out to 50 libraries. By the way, the name of the book is As You Grow, and it promotes faith and family and biblical values. All great things, right? Well, it turns out that all 50 libraries they reached out to rejected Storytime with Kirk Cameron. Every single one of these libraries is taxpayer-funded, and all 50 have been sponsoring LGBT events, including drag queen story hours. So, in other words, they're rolling out the glitter carpet for the drag queens, but Jesus gets the heave-ho. We've got the story up on the website. Kirk says the book teaches about biblical wisdom and the value of producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Find anything objectionable in this list yet, folks? Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Apparently, those are all triggering words to the radicals in the LGBT library movement. So anyway, the library said, no, we're not going to do it. And many of the libraries actually told them why. One Rhode Island library said that they were a very queer-friendly library. What does that even mean? What does that mean? Quote, we are a very queer-friendly library. Our messaging does not align. What is the messaging? You're a freaking library. You got books. It's about the Dewey Decimal System. If they still do that, I don't know. I haven't been in a library in a long time. One San Diego library rejected the book because of its diverse community. Well, what does that mean? So apparently, reading books about teenage boys slipping into sparkly dresses and high heels is okay, but reading about a God is homophobic and triggering. That's what they're telling everybody now. It's tragic. But again, it seems to me, if the taxpayer-funded libraries, and that's the key here, folks, if it's funded by your tax dollars, if they can host a non-binary, pronoun-confused author of color, then they can certainly squeeze in a Christian straight white dude. Right? Right? That just seems fair. But that's not what it's about. It's not about fairness. It's about shoving an agenda down the throats of your children and having your children shove the dollar bills into the G-strings of the drag queens. That's what it's really all about. That brings me to another library story. This is like Library Hour on the Todd Stearns radio program. One of our great listeners reached out to me from Massachusetts. Always had a hard time spelling that as a child. Didn't do well in the spelling bee. Librarian exposing all sorts of debauchery in the public library in Dedham, Massachusetts. This is a terrible story. So every year they set up a Christmas tree. You know, we set up a Christmas tree here at the Todd Stearns radio show. We have poinsettias and we have a nativity scene with the baby Jesus and we have Santa Claus with a long sleigh that you can put delicious candies in, which, by the way, Grace Baker is now empty. Somebody's been eating the Ghirardelli peppermint bark chocolate.
It was Merlot.
Just want to make that observation. I'm not casting blame. I'm just pointing something out.
No comment.
Anyway, Lisa Desmond is the branch manager for the Dedham, Massachusetts Library, and she wrote about this on her social media page. Turns out they're not setting up a Christmas tree in the public library. And she asked why, and apparently management told her that people were uncomfortable. So people were very uncomfortable about something happening in the library. And what were they uncomfortable about? They were uncomfortable having a Christmas tree in the library. So they decided to go ahead and remove the Christmas tree from the Dedham Library. Now, I did a little research here, and it did not take long. Turns out this library, they have LGBT events out the wazoo. And by wazoo, I mean nothing sexual. It's just an expression, a phrase, if you will. But they're hosting gay events out the wazoo. They're hosting all sorts, like Juneteenth events, you name it. Any kind of a holiday, they're celebrating. Gay Pride, they got a whole month full of activities at the library. But God forbid somebody puts up a Christmas tree. The librarian writes, we have celebrated and included everyone in our community, except for Christians. In fact, I was asked to MC Juneteenth this year. What an honor. Those who know me and my family know we celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah. My Muslim friends and Western Indian friends invite me to their celebrations. What an amazing gift. And we've got a picture that she posted of a child that was putting an ornament on the library Christmas tree. How beautiful. Quote, I'm not feeling very positive today. Please bring Christmas back to my beautiful library. Always lead with love in your heart. Oh, that's very thoughtful. That would make a nice like T-shirt or something, or coffee mug. The library's decision has sparked outrage among citizens. Someone wrote, political correctness is eroding the national sensibility. Christmas is a federal holiday in the country. Put the tree up, you Grinches.
I added that part. Anyway, it turns out a local member of the Human Rights Commission wrote a nasty, threatening letter to Mrs. Dinsmore, the librarian, and just blasting her for exposing the fact that they had killed Christmas. Blank you, wrote the member of the Human Rights Commission. You're a selfish blanking blank who does not care about anyone but herself. For a tree, for a mother blanking tree, you have put people's lives in danger here. A lot of danger for a mother blanking tree. Oh, it sounds like a lovely person. I saw a photograph of the individual. Pronoun, not quite clear. So anyway, there you have it. But you know what they should have done, Grace Baker? I was thinking about this as we go to break. What they should have done, because you know who got offended. It was the
tree huggers? Okay.
Oh, it was the ones with the flags.
Oh,
with that special
yeah.
time of month, the entire month of June. What they should have done is put the Christmas tree up and decorated it with little rainbows and snowflakes.
Oh.
And said, this is the gay pride tree.
Oh, there you go.
Go celebrate.
I have a feeling they wouldn't have said anything then.
Yeah, and it would have been awkward when Santa arrived. Ho, ho, ho. It would have been awkward. It would have been awkward. All right, folks, there you have it. Your tax dollars at work. We'll be right back.
President Roosevelt said the U.S. was bound and determined to stay out of this war. Then, the morning of December 7th, 1941.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu. We take you now to Washington.
The details are not available. They will be in a few minutes. The White House is now giving out a statement. The attack apparently was made on all naval and on naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu. The president's brief statement was read to reporters by Stephen Early, the president's secretary. A Japanese attack upon Pearl Harbor naturally would mean war. Such an attack would naturally bring a counterattack, and hostilities of this kind would naturally mean
and that's what it's,
that the president
and
would
that's
ask
what it
Congress
sounded like
for
on D-Day, on December, or rather on Pearl Harbor Day on December 7th, a date that will live in infamy, as Franklin Roosevelt once declared to Congress. That audio comes courtesy of our good friend Wyatt Cox, who hosts Classic Radio Theater, which you can hear on a lot of radio stations around the nation. But Wyatt was able to accumulate all of this incredible audio from the radio broadcast of that day. Just imagine, there was no TV, no internet, no smartphones. People literally found out about the attack on Pearl Harbor by listening to the radio. And he has, again, compiled a lot of great audio content, and I would encourage you to check that out over on his website. That's Wyatt Cox with Classic Radio Theater. All right, folks, got to take a break. When we come back, Ralph Reed is going to join us to give us a blow-by-blow of what happened in Georgia. Also, Congressman Pat Fallon going to be weighing in on the Twitter files, Twittergate, and we have new information to share with you there. Unbelievable, some of the new accusations. And Biden still refuses to go to the border. He'll go to the border states, but not the border. Stick around, everybody.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's it.
To me, it's personal.
I have lost, we have lost Border Patrol agents in the recent weeks that are our friends. Just last night, we lost another friend. It has to stop. The Joe Biden administration has played the border crisis. His policies have created, has downplayed it. He's on record stating that there's other more important things. That is a ridiculous statement, and it is a disrespect to our Border Patrol agents. I'm asking him to come to South Texas, to come and see what our Border Patrol agents are going through, so we can see some real solutions coming forward.
All right, that's Congresswoman Myra Flores just a little while ago weighing in on a horrible story coming out of the border, where a Border Patrol agent, 38 years old, married, kids, and he was killed while chasing a bunch of illegal alien invaders. But Joe Biden can't be bothered to go down to the border because he says there are more important things he has to deal with, like whatever flavor of ice cream he licks at night. Those things are more important to this president. Meanwhile, you have Border Patrol agents every single day putting their lives on the line. They are vastly outnumbered. They are outmanned. They don't have enough resources to secure our borders. And therefore, the borders have been overrun. And now a Border Patrol agent is dead. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us a good friend of the program, no stranger to this show. He represents the 4th Congressional District in Texas, Congressman Pat Fallon. Congressman, tragic news coming out of the border today.
You know, Todd, it's the worst thing that, you know, our greatest fear is when our law enforcement, the people that we employed to protect us and keep us safe, give their lives. In this instance, I think, needlessly, because if Joe Biden had done his job and secured the border, I don't think this would have happened.
Congressman, what do you hope to see happen in the new Congress with the House of Representatives? Is there anything you guys can do to help these Border Patrol agents out?
Well, you know, the main thing we can do, Todd, because we only going to hold one chamber. You know, the Democrats are going to be in control of the Senate, as we know, and then, of course, Biden wasn't on the ballot in 2022. But what we can do is tell the American people the truth. We're going to have the power of subpoena. We're going to have Alejandro Mayorkas. Our office is filing articles of impeachment on this person because he has abdicated his responsibility. It's a gross dereliction of duty. He refuses to enforce the laws that are on the books. He lied to the American people about the incident that they're actually an incident that didn't even happen, where Border Patrol agents were accused of whipping Haitian migrants. That didn't happen. He knew it didn't happen, and he said it anyway. And he also said, Todd, last year, and then in this year included, that the border was secure. And then he got caught on the hot mic last year saying that the border was chaos. So clearly, I believe he lied under oath in front of Congress. So he needs to face the music finally, and the American people need to know the truth.
Congressman, we've been following on a very different story. Twittergate, Twitter files, they're both going viral on social media, at least on Twitter. And now we're getting word that before these Twitter files were released by Elon Musk and his team, that James Baker was able to scrub these documents, a man who has ties to not only Twitter, but also the FBI. What concerns do you have based on the information coming out?
I think that's it sounds to me, Todd, like that's election engineering. Ironically, the very thing that the left and the mainstream media, sorry for being redundant there, but was accusing President Trump of doing with the Russians, which was proven patently false. But you're putting the thumb on the scale of our electoral process when big tech is colluding with the Democratic National Committee on what stories to run and what stories to hold back. And it should be very chilling for every American.
I mean, this is a significant issue, and especially with the special protections that social media giants have been given. And the fact is that they were involved in running interference for Democrats in not just presidential elections, but we also know that Katie Hobbs and her office were literally calling Twitter headquarters and telling them to remove tweets that were offensive to Katie Hobbs.
Well, not only that, look at what Google Mail did, Todd. I mean, this is, again, it sends a shiver down my spine to know and really, we had fears, right? We had suspicions, but now they're being confirmed. Like, for instance, 70% of Republican campaign emails went to spam on Google, compared to just 10% for the Democrats. I wouldn't want it the other way. I mean, I just want a fair playing field. And that is clearly not what we've had over the last several years.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congressman Pat Fallon from the great state of Texas. Congressman, I know you guys are starting to line up the investigations. What do you think is going to be first and foremost for you guys?
You know, and so I sit on Armed Services and the Oversight Committee. On the Oversight Committee, there's going to be many investigations. I think the first one will probably be, I have to talk to soon-to-be Chairman Comer, but probably Hunter Biden. Because we're talking about a potentially grave national security threat. And there's all the ingredients for corruption here. And we need to get people under oath. Now, they might take the Fifth Amendment. All right, well, that's going to send a very clear message to the American people that this is not what it seems, at least not what Joe Biden wants it to appear to be. Because there's been 150 suspicious activity reports filed against the Biden family. So to give your listeners an idea what an SAR is, if you just walk in the bank and deposit $190,000 in cash, that may not be illegal. It's not illegal in and of itself, but it could be. It could lead to a suspicion that there was a criminal act behind it. So the suspicious activity report has to be filed with a financial institution, has to file that with the government. Or if there's, say, a big check you got for $4 million from Saudi Arabia, it's just a little odd. Most Americans would never have an SAR filed against them. The Bidens have had 150 of them, Todd, filed against them. That's interesting. That's odd. That is suspicious. We need to get to the truth. And furthermore, the SARs were always made available to members of Congress, and Joe Biden changed the rules, and they're not available to us right now, and they haven't been for the last 2 years.
All right, Congressman, we are going to leave it there, and we do appreciate you weighing in on this breaking news coming out of the border, where a Border Patrol agent has been killed in the line of duty. Congressman, I hope you and the Fallon family have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Todd, and let's all pray for that brave hero's family and that we can get to the bottom of it.
Well said. All right, Congressman Pat Fallon on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Here is the report from Fox News, Cut 13.
And just in from the border in the last hour, Fox News has learned that a Border Patrol agent was killed in a crash chasing a group of illegal immigrants. Bill Malusian live in Hidalgo, Texas. And Bill, there's consequences to this every single day.
Dana, good morning to you. That's exactly right. Multiple federal sources telling me this happened in Mission, Texas early this morning, just about 20 minutes away from where we're standing right now. Really, really tragic news. I'm told by these sources that a 38-year-old Border Patrol agent was chasing a group of illegal immigrants in Mission on his ATV and going pretty fast when he crashed into a gate, and he lost his life as a result of that crash. I am told by these sources that that agent was a father of two, that he was a fantastic agent, and that he was a really good guy. I have reached out to CBP for a formal statement. We're waiting to hear back, but this agent lost his life doing his job in some pretty difficult circumstances with this border crisis right now. Case in point, we'll take you elsewhere along the border. Look at these photos right here. Another major fentanyl bust out of Arizona. This at the CBP port of entry in Nogales, Arizona, where CBP officers seized 440,000 fentanyl pills hidden in the seats of a smuggler's vehicle as he was going through that port of entry. That's just a few hours south of Phoenix, where President Biden was yesterday, but he obviously didn't decide to visit the Arizona border. We'll keep it in Arizona. Take a look at these images out of Border Patrol's Tucson, Arizona sector. This is a human smuggler who was driving a truck with 13 illegal immigrants in it. Border Patrol says at extreme speeds. Well, once he was stopped, take a look what was in that vehicle. Two little unrestrained migrant children were in that group of migrants being smuggled. And then you take a look at the back of the vehicle. Six illegal immigrants all dressed in camouflage, all crammed into the bed of that truck. Border Patrol dealing with that sort of thing day in and day out. Then lastly, take a look at this video from Texas DPS dash cam showing what their troopers are dealing with day in and day out down here at the southern border. One of their troopers pulling over another human smuggler, a female U.S. citizen from San Antonio. Everybody goes bailing out of the vehicle. Nine illegal immigrants go running off in all directions. The trooper decides to go after the smuggler. He arrests her, charges her, and she is taken into custody. But back out here live again, that tragic news that here in the Rio Grande Valley, just about 20 minutes away from where we're standing, a Border Patrol agent lost his life. 38 years old, a father of two, died after he crashed his ATV into a gate while chasing a group of illegal immigrants. We'll send it back to you.
Tragic.
It is tragic, and it could have been prevented. But nobody wants to do anything about the border, not even the Republicans. And the reason why the Republicans don't want anything done with the border is they're beholden to all these big businesses. And the big business, they don't care about you folks. They don't care about the hardworking people of America. They want to use this cheap foreign labor to make their cheap products and get it back across the border. So anyway, it's a tragedy, but there you go. All right, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You've heard the news. Twitter censored conservatives big time. They also suppressed information about Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, Eric Bolling is on Newsmax exposing Twitter's war on President Trump. And I want you to tune in tonight, again tonight, on Newsmax to watch Eric Bolling and The Balance. For news you need to know, make sure you vote in Newsmax's urgent poll. Do you want Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis as your candidate in 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. You can text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747 and let your voice be heard. Maybe it's just me, but are we coddling criminals in America? Again, it's, you know, it's like with your kids, and you've seen these types. You probably go to church with them, and they've got the little. You can always tell the moms and dads who don't discipline their kids. You know, they want to reason with the children. They want to have a conversation. But one of the great problems in America is that far too many boys and girls do not know the holy terror and fear of hearing a leather belt coming out of daddy's loops on the blue jeans. I'm just telling you, a lot of parents just aren't disciplining their kids, and the kids don't care. They're running around like wild animals in the church house. It's terrible. So I do wonder if maybe we treat criminals the same way. You know, we've got all these Soros-funded district attorneys everywhere, and nobody wants to get punished. As a matter of fact, if you are a victim of a crime, you're actually not the victim. You're the criminal because you've gotten a bad guy in trouble with the law. That's what they want you to believe. I mean, how many times do you turn on the news and there's, I don't know, LaMangelo Washington. And LaMangelo has gone in and he has repatriated, I don't know, $30,000 worth of tennis shoes from the sneaker store. And the family is defending LaMangelo Washington as a good and decent boy. He's such a good boy. He never caused me any trouble growing up. And yes, I know he's 35 years old now, but he's getting ready to go back to school and he's getting his life back together. And LaMangelo, this is the mother speaking. And sweet LaMangelo, my sweet, sweet boy, he's actually taking care of all of his children with all of the baby mamas. Every single one of them. He never leaves one of them out. All 14. Such a good boy. He doesn't deserve this. I guess so. Got to put a lot of shoes on a lot of feet. You got to do what you got to do, right? So it's horrible because nobody wants to punish LaMangelo Washington because it's a good little boy, age 35, thinking about going back to college. So I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't think there's actually, and if there is a LaMangelo Washington, we're just making this name up. So, I mean, the same thing happened to his brother, Arangelo. Arangelo and LaMangelo. It's in the family. Oh, my boys, LaMangelo and Arangelo. He ain't done nothing to nobody, hardly ever. So anyway, I say this because one of the most affluent malls in all of Memphis is going up for auction. And it is in a beautiful, high-end part of Memphis. At the poor mall is now a, it's like a war zone. People get shot in the mall. There's robberies. They get shot outside the mall. Directly across the street, there's an outdoor shopping mall, and nobody ever gets robbed over there. But by God, in that mall. And so people are online, and it's just hundreds of people, and they're like, well, we don't understand what happened. Maybe they just didn't have enough good sales. Well, the problem is LaMangelo and Arangelo. They wanted too much free stuff. And now, unfortunately, the businesses are going belly up.
Todd, I just got to add a note here. So Oakbrook Mall, I like grew up going to that mall, and it is horrible. Like every time I went back, it was like, do I have to, you know, you look for a store and you're like, oh no, it's there. Like you have to go there to get it. So you're like, okay, I'm going to dash in there. You don't go at night. There's like rules. You don't go at night. If you park in the parking garage, you got to park on certain levels. You got to look around before you walk. It's like, it is an actual thing. And when you're in there, you're like making a beeline for the store and then you're getting out.
Grandmother Stearns was very fond of Godiva chocolate. And that was the only Godiva chocolate store in the Mid-South was in that mall. So I would always go over there and I would get her some chocolate. So one year I flew back to Memphis back when I was still working at Fox. And the place was destitute.
It's horrible.
And in place of the Godiva store, it looked like there were these folks south of the border that were selling the little candies that were, I don't know, they're like a buck.
Is this like the generic Godiva?
It's like the kind they try to, the kids try to sell you when you go to the border of Mexico.
Okay. That place is just, it's been bad for a long time.
It's gone downhill a smidge.
And for women, it was like, don't go to that mall. Don't go to that mall.
So Memphis and malls don't go well together. They've had to shut down so many of the major malls, and there's only, in Memphis proper, there's only one other major mall, and that is...
Worse.
That's worse. The Galleria.
It's
yeah.
It's bigger.
Bigger.
It's terrible.
It can accommodate many more criminals.
I seriously won't go there alone. I have to have a buddy.
So here's the good news, though. There is a solution, and it's not coddling the criminals. A Philadelphia gas station owner came up with a solution to all of this. This poor guy has been robbed. He's been threatened. His staffers, his employees have been beaten up. Mr. Neil Patel, he owns the Carco gas station at Broad and Clearfield in North Philly. You know what he did? He got tired of waiting on the police, so he took matters into his own hands. He hired security guards, literally armed with AR-15s, and they are stationed right outside the front door of the gas station. And you know, it's interesting. Something very interesting happened at that gas station. It turns out when there is a guard armed with an AR-15 standing outside your gas station, nobody's going to rob that gas station. And if they try to, they're going to end up going to the morgue. So I say good for you, Mr. Patel. And that's a lesson here. You people over at the Oak Court Mall, go get yourself an AR-15. Defend your property. Defend your people. It's us against the criminals, and I'm not sure the police are going to be much help. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. I mean, that could happen. What I do know is this. Tonight is about Georgia, and tonight is about Trump picking somebody who, frankly, used to be a hero. His name, Herschel Walker, used to mean inspiration. Now it means insult. He's an insult to the black community. And what you may see tonight is people coming out not just to vote in favor of a senator that they love, but just to vote against Donald Trump picking somebody like this and throwing this person at the voters in Georgia, like, well, you'll just pick anybody who's black. His judgment, Trump's judgment, tonight is going to be, I think, called into question by a lot of people. And I think that when you have a situation where it's obvious that Trump, he was a little bit too clever by half. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to put a black guy against a black guy, but the guy that he picked was the wrong black guy.
All right, that was Van Jones on CNN. May I just say something about Van Jones? Going back into the history books, He was a big deal during the Barack Hussein Obama years. And this is a guy who actually wanted to make it legal for cats and dogs to sue their owners in court. That's all you need to know about Van Jones. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a man who has been a regular guest on this program, very involved there in the state of Georgia, as well as politics nationwide. He is the founder and chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, none other than Ralph Reed. Ralph, good to have you with us today.
Thanks so much, Todd. Good to be with you.
All right, let's just rip the Band-Aid off here. What the heck happened last night, Ralph?
Well, I think I can tell you this. I was deeply involved in this effort. Faith and Freedom, my organization, knocked on almost 400,000 doors in the runoff, made hundreds of thousands of phone calls, put voter guides into 5,000 churches, and we did everything we could to turn the vote out. And the vote came out. The objective was to get 1.4 million voters to the polls yesterday, which should have overcome Warnock's advantage in the early vote. We didn't get to 1.4. We shattered it. We not only shattered it, but we had more people vote yesterday than voted on Election Day. About 1.6 million yesterday compared to 1.5 million on November 8th. The challenge was that in the end, in the key counties, Herschel's margin did not match. His margin of victory in those counties did not match where he was on November 8th. And I can't tell you why that happened. But it happened, and that's why we are where we are today. And at the risk of stating the obvious, I know there are people that are going to take shots at Herschel, and obviously, you know, not to spend a lot of time on what Van said, but nothing could be further from the truth. Trump didn't handpick or select anybody. Herschel grew up in this state. Herschel has business in this state. He has one of the largest food services companies in the United States, is headquartered in Dublin, Georgia. He has family here. He has a home in Atlanta. And he came back to Georgia because he was tired of his state being divided and being represented by somebody who he didn't think shared the values of the state. And Donald Trump supported him. But the idea that, you know, he was handpicked and selected in some cynical way is just a liberal lie and a media lie. Right. And, finally, Todd, just real quick, I would just say, at the risk of stating the obvious, that Raphael Warnock is clearly a formidable opponent. He's won four elections in 2 years. He outspent Herschel 3-1. This is a hard guy to beat. It's not like Herschel lost to him and everybody else beat him. He beat Kelly Loeffler by 100,000 votes 2 years ago. So this was a tough race. It was always going to be a tough race.
Ralph, when you look at the, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of time to analyze the data and the numbers, and I'm very curious to know about the youth vote, and did it turn out, and if so, who did it turn out for? But more importantly, I'm concerned about the friendly fire here, the not so friendly fire, where you've got the Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, you know, who is actively campaigning against the nominee of his own party. I got a big problem with that.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, there's a discount factor there. It played much bigger nationally than it did in Georgia. I mean, Jeff Duncan, and I don't want to be unkind, but he's a lame duck who's going to be out of office in like 25 days. And he didn't even run for reelection, in part, I think, because he wouldn't have even won a primary. And the lieutenant governor-elect, the guy that has real support in the party, Burt Jones, was campaigning for Herschel all over the state. Brian Kemp, the governor, cut an ad for him, did rallies for him, did teletown halls for him, turned his entire grassroots organization of 200 canvassers over to Herschel. I assure you, Todd, the party was united. And anytime you got Brian Kemp, Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell all rowing in the same direction, that's called unity. So that is not what happened here. This guy is a hard guy to beat. And let me tell you one other thing that nobody's talking about, because all they're talking about is Herschel in Georgia. Did you know that Republicans have only beaten two Senate incumbents since 2016? So they've gone roughly 35-2 with their incumbents against Republican opponents. And guess who the two lost are? Claire McCaskill of Missouri, who was in a state that Trump carried by 20 points. And frankly, she should have lost the last election. And Rick Scott defeated Bill Nelson by 10,000 votes out of 8 million. So at least in recent history, this has been hard. In the same state where Herschel came up a little short last night, Republicans won every other statewide office, and Brian Kemp, who signed the heartbeat bill, was reelected by a landslide after being outspent 2-1.
And let's
so the media is going to try and portray this as the end of the world. It was just a tough race where a great guy, a sweet man, a deeply committed Christian, a great person, just came up a little short.
Ralph, were you guys ever able to get the answer to the question is what happened on Election Day back in November when the vote for Kemp, you know, was not the vote for Herschel Walker? Do any indication of what happened there?
Oh yeah, we know exactly what happened. You know, there were 200,000 people who voted for Brian who didn't vote for Herschel. About 17,000 of them skipped it. I'm doing this from memory, but roughly 30,000 voted for the Libertarian, and there were 150,000 who voted Kemp Warnock, which seems to be an incoherent vote to me. It indicates a level of cognitive dissonance. We believe in the exurbs and the rural areas. Those were mostly soft Democrats. They were going to vote. They were high-propensity voters. They were going to vote Democrat, but they couldn't vote for Stacey Abrams. The polling indicates that the people who skipped it weren't going to come back, and the polling further indicates that the people who voted for Kemp and the Libertarian were going to vote for Herschel overwhelmingly. So one of the reasons why last night was, I don't want to say a surprise, because Herschel had a big early vote still to climb. I mean, he was behind a couple hundred thousand votes going into yesterday. But one thing that was a little surprising is the polling showed that 10 to 15% of Kemp Warnock voters were going to come back and vote for Herschel. And the polling indicated that by 2-1, the people who voted Libertarian were going to vote for Herschel. There were 81,000 of those voters. So he was right in there. It was doable. But, you know, it's a tough opponent against an incumbent who's outspending you 3-1.
So where is the fix here? And we've heard leadership changes at the RNC. There needs to be a discussion about these consultants, the campaign consultants, and the
right
money. Where do you see the big issue here, and what can we do to fix it?
Well, I'm not going to get involved in the RNC race, but I will say, without getting involved, that Ronna Romney and the RNC moved heaven and earth in this race. She personally and the National Party. You know, not going to go into all the details in an interview, but things that I'm aware of in terms of money that was moved in here. Every RNC canvasser and staffer from around the country was moved into Georgia. They knocked on 1.5 million doors, including 93,000 doors on the Saturday before the election. They had a very good data team. They were targeting voters. They spent millions, okay? Millions. I think there are two things that call out for a fix. There may be others, but these two, Todd, I'm totally focused on. The first is we have got to make sure that we're not behind by this much in early votes anymore in these battleground states. Our people tend not to like to vote early, and they sure don't like to vote by mail. Until we culturally overcome that resistance and we get people to vote by mail and to vote early in person, we're going to have to score 3 touchdowns on Election Day to come from behind. It's the equivalent of going into the fourth quarter down 3 or 4 scores. You may pull it off, but it's not a good strategy. You know, in Florida, there's a huge early vote, about 50 to 60% of the vote, and the Republicans are not behind by more than 75 to 100,000 out of millions. The second thing we got to fix is we got to fix this fundraising advantage that they have among small donors. Warnock went into this race with $25 million, and his cash on hand never went below $25 million, even though he spent $200 million. Because every time he sent out a text message every day, $1 million came in, every single day, sometimes $2 or $3 million. He outspent Herschel 3 or 4-1 in the general. He outspent him 2-1 in the runoff. There's 36 million Act Blue small donors compared to 12 to 15 million Win Red donors. Todd, I'm just telling you flat out, if there's 4 to 6 to 8 battleground Senate races in America every 2 years, and every one of those guys is getting outspent 2, 3, 4, 5 to 1, this is going to keep happening.
Ralph Reed on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this afternoon, dissecting what happened in Georgia. Ralph is the founder and chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Ralph, where do we go from here?
Well, I think what we got to do is we got to look at the 24 map. We got to start looking at the potential candidates. We're going to have to fix the small donor problem. We're going to have to give some thought to what we have to do in terms of either election law and election integrity legislation, and or changes in how we do our job in getting more people to vote early and to vote by mail, so that we can we need good candidates, we need well-funded candidates. And the last thing I would say, Todd, and I do think, don't have time in today's format to go into it, but I do think we're doing a good job at the grassroots, but they're still out hustling us. We've got to build a grassroots infrastructure that is county by county, precinct by precinct, neighborhood by neighborhood, with vote goals where you have workers, paid and unpaid, that know every single voter, how they intend to vote, and they have the ability to vote massive numbers of voters in a very reliable way. They have that. I give Stacey Abrams and Warnock credit. They built a heck of a machine here in 2018 and 2020, and Warnock benefited from that yesterday.
And
we need to change that.
And I don't want to jump the gun, but watching Warnock, and if I'm a Democrat and I'm seeing that guy and the numbers he's pulling in, the national donors, and the fact that he has won those races, he's looking like a formidable possible presidential contender down the road.
Well, there was already reporting even before he was elected to a full term to that effect. So, you know, the irony of this whole thing is I think Stacey Abrams thought it was going to be her running for president, and she simply recruited this guy to run for the Senate because she wanted to run for governor. And she lost two races, and now he's the one who's the national figure. So politics is a very funny business. But you know what it's a reminder of, Todd? It's a wake-up call, especially for the Christian community, that elections have real consequences.
Yep.
And if you allow somebody who is this far out of the mainstream, this radical, this hardcore left, to win a statewide office, even if you think it's a fluke, you can pay a very heavy price. We did it with Obama, and, you know, we got to worry about Warnock now. So elections matter, and they have real consequences.
All right, Ralph, we're going to leave it there. Good intel. Appreciate you.
Yep, you too, Todd. Thanks.
All right, Ralph Reed, everybody, from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Got to take a break. When we come back, we're getting to your calls, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, coming up tomorrow, former Congressman J.D. Hayworth is going to be in the big anchor chair, our good friend from Arizona. I'm taking a few days off to wrap up this book project I've been doing, so I will not be vacationing just yet. But we're excited to have the former congressman with us, great American patriot, and he'll be with us on Thursday and Friday. And then on Monday, our good friend Mary Walter is going to be in the anchor chair. Hey, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Faith in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our great affiliate there. Faith, what's on your mind?
Happy Wednesday, Todd.
Happy Wednesday.
I just want to say that I'm not even going to get into the weeds of if it's Trump out or nothing. I don't believe it is. I do blame him, though, for endorsing Purdue in the first place. I think that stuff, he has some on his feet. But like I said back in May, I believe that Walker should have appealed to the black churches that happens to be black. And I only say that is because based on, I listen to your show a lot, and I also listen to other people because I like to kind of get a pulse on what people in Georgia are thinking. And I had already saw like a negative turn since the primary against Herschel Walker, although he won the primary fair and square. If your quality candidate didn't win, then you had some decisions to make. So I'm assuming those same people who voted in the primary also voted in the generals. But listening to those feedback about him, people thinking he illiterate, he can't hold conversations for more than 5 seconds. Well, some of it may be true, some not, given on the day. I was like, he needs to, no matter what your race is, you need to go to churches, period. But I saw the machine firsthand. Bishop, what's his name? Murphy. He's a gospel singer and a bishop. I was listening to his sermons a long time ago about him prepping. I knew he was prepping up Stacey Abrams and prepping up Warnock, Jamal Bryan, who shouldn't be a pastor anyway. They were doing that traditional, what I call, whipping that they do in churches that happen to be black a lot when it comes to election season. However, Walker does appeal to men's men. He appeals to black men. Black men, generally speaking, do not like Warnock. Warnock is the type of person who would get a lot of women, but a man's man, they can't stand Warnock. And to me, I saw that in the general when they rejected Abrams. I'm talking about the Democrat vote. They rejected Abrams and Kemp skipped on through. So he needed to go to the black churches, especially when they had all these gospel artists who've been gospel artists since the 70s, 80s, like John P. Key, and it was all simping for Warnock. Had them. They had all their clergy collars on like a week before, all appealing to the authority of God, and I believe by the Holy Spirit that Warnock is going to get it. That was whipping them all. They turned their mind from, you know, abortion is wrong. You know, transing the kids are wrong. But hey, God's hand is on Warnock. He's going to fight for all of us so we can worship in peace and do the gospel.
Faith, I'm surprised lightning bolts didn't come down from the heavens with some of those sermons they were delivering supporting Warnock. It made no sense. Faith, I hate to do this, but we are flat out of time and they're going to cut us off. But to your point, the black churches were key to Walker, and you're right. Again, missed opportunities, but we've got to do a better job getting out there and getting into communities where we have not gone, right? Isn't that the Star Trek motto? Go where no man has gone before. No Republican man, I guess. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. Have a great one, everybody.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.